Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. I'm your host, Amy Vohl, Marketing and Communications Coordinator at Cape Light Compact, along with John Burns, an Energy Efficiency Program Planner at Cape Light Compact. We're located in the Superior Courthouse at the County Complex in Barnstable. We all appreciate and expect top-notch public services administered through our local governments: fire and police protection, clean water, libraries, schools, and community centers. But hidden deep in the walls, ceilings, and utility rooms of these buildings are aging and inefficient energy systems and structures that cost our towns, and ultimately the taxpayer, money that could be saved through energy efficiency measures. Today's guests represent the core team of players: the Public Works Facilitator, the Energy Engineer, and the Cape Light Compact Program Director, who work together as a team to help our towns achieve highly efficient buildings and structures that are friendlier to the environment and much less costly to operate. In addition to John Burns, who will speak directly about Cape Light Compact's role in the energy efficiency in this energy efficiency triumvirate, we welcome our two guests: Brian Laughlin, an energy engineer at Rise Engineering, who has worked extensively with Cape Light Compact's government programs, and George Allaire, who is in charge of the public infrastructure maintenance and development for the town of Yarmouth. He also acts as the liaison and facilitator to the Yarmouth Energy Committee, offering administrative support developing wind and PV projects. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
Fine, Amy. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure, John. I'd like to start with you, as a matter of fact.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
The first hurdle to any public improvement project is getting the money. So tell us, where can folks find some?
Okay. For our municipal programs, and we have several different programs, and today we're talking about particularly the municipal programs. For those who may be just tuning in for the first time, the Cape Light Compact is an intergovernmental organization. Each town on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard has a director that administers or that oversees the program. And way back when the Cape Light Compact first was started and we started to take over these energy efficiency programs, the board voted to fully fund the municipal portion of the programs. In other words, the municipalities have a need to save electric energy. They can contact the Cape Light Compact, and the Cape Light Compact, through our vendor, Rise Engineering, will implement the program at no cost to the municipality. So the only caveat, a couple of caveats. Number one, there is a cap on the projects. It's $150,000.
Is that a new cap?
It is. It was $75,000. It's been raised to $250,000 per project. That doesn't mean we turn $150,000 over to you. What it means is that we can fund projects that are up to $150,000, and we can fully fund them. The criteria for the projects are that they've got to demonstrably save energy. So we take a look at the projects, we run them through what's called a screening tool to determine whether or not it's a wise investment of the money. If it turns out to be a wise investment of the money, and typically we like to see the projects pay back in energy savings in 2 to 3 years. If the project is going to pay back at that rate, we'll proceed with the project. And it's really that simple.
That is pretty simple, John.
It is.
So no catch on this.
No catch.
No catch.
You just call us. You call us up, 800-797-6699. Let us know that you got a project.
All right. Well,
we've got a guy here.
We're going to get to George. He's been calling you up over and over and over again,
sure.
Huh, George?
George knows my number. It's on speed dial, I think.
So what's the next step? Okay, you call up. You talk to somebody at Cape Light Compact.
Yes.
We come out and
take a look at the project, and it could take a couple tracks. Either we'll go out, myself or somebody from the office will go out and take a look at the project, mm-hmm. or Brian may have already contacted someone. Brian is a vendor. We've Rise Engineering. Brian works for Rise Engineering. We got Rise Engineering through their competitive bidding process. They're authorized to do the government projects. Brian may be calling directly on the towns too, just to let them know. So
Brian,
a couple ways.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell us what to expect when facilities managers or public works folks get a call from you? What's going to be next?
Absolutely. Well, where we would start is if we get a call from anyone really in the town with regards to facilities and or even town managers, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to come out, sit down, talk to them about their electric bill. So we'll have a little round table. Hopefully they have an electric bill with them. We can go over that electric bill, kind of get a feeling for how much energy they're currently consuming. The second step would be for us to go out to the facility in question, take a look at it. We're going to look at their lighting. We're going to look at their mechanical spaces. A lot of times those are hidden. Sometimes they don't even know that they have them. But
so are you crawling around? Is that what you're saying sometimes?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're crawling around. We're looking for anything and everything that we can possibly find to save energy. In the mechanical room, there's typically pumps, motors attached to those pumps. That's what drives the pumps to move perhaps water or glycol or some sort of liquid around the building to heat it and cool it. Mm-hmm. Once we've conducted that initial investigation, we'll go back to our office, sit down, do all the math and the calculations, all the really fun stuff, mm-hmm. see if we can come up with some energy savings. Once we've identified and put together the energy saving measures, the next step really will be to come back to the Cape Light Compact, let them know what we've come up with both in cost to do a project as well as the energy savings.
Okay.
Once that's done and it's been approved by the Cape Light Compact as a project to move forward with, we'll then contact the facilities manager, whoever we were in contact with in the first place, go back out to their facility, go over the project in detail as to what we came up with, what we found, what we need to do as a next step. They would then sign the project. It's pretty easy when it's free to move forward on a job. But you'd be surprised. It's some people find it hard to believe that they're getting all this work or all these improvements at no additional charge.
Well, actually, probably George can speak to that side of things. Obviously, when you call, you've had some assessments done on some of your town buildings. And then you get this report back that said it's going to be free. What are the steps that you have to take to get approval on your end, to get the work done?
Our end is exceedingly simple. When somebody comes to us and says that we can save you money at no cost, I don't have to get approval from anybody. We just go right ahead, and they've made it so easy for us as a community. We've had them look at every building, including our septic treatment plant, which is much more complicated than a regular household or regular commercial building. And they've made some significant improvements for us that have lowered our energy costs. And we're looking for savings every place we can possibly find savings because of the budget conditions and economy that we're faced today. So we're very pleased with the outcome, and the simplicity of the program is fantastic.
That's great. John, is that typical for most towns? Obviously, Yarmouth is a wonderful...
Yeah, some towns are more enlightened when it comes to energy efficiency than others. I will say this, Yarmouth is one of three town halls in the Cape, on the Cape and Vineyard, that have been gotten the Energy Star Award for building performance.
So I was going to ask you about
They've been very good over the years getting all of the new technologies implemented. There's compelling reasons for doing this. We have a choice of either sending our money to the Middle East for fuel or using our fuel more wisely here. Because electricity, whether it's electricity or oil, gas, whatever, it all gets traced back to a barrel of oil. And so energy efficiency is actually very cost effective, and in many and most instances, it's a lot cheaper than simply feeding more fuel to an inefficient system.
Right. Well, actually, we've just filed today our three-year statewide plan, and it's really going to propel Massachusetts in terms of putting them as a national leader in terms of energy efficiency, more so than many other states. And John, maybe you can talk a little bit about what makes that plan so special and really what's in it that propelled us to that point.
It has its genesis in the Green Communities Act, which was recently passed by the Massachusetts legislature, signed into law by Governor Patrick in, I believe it was August of 2008. The Green Communities Act mandated that all growth in electric demand for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will first be met by cost-effective energy efficiency measures. So a good, healthy state is going to grow. Its economy is going to grow. And as its economy grows, there will be more demand for electricity. That is actually an indicator of wealth, by the way. Your use of electricity is actually an indicator of wealth. And any state government, national government, wants their economies to be robust. So we have a choice. Do we build more power plants and string more wire, or do we meet the demand with new technologies which will do the same or more work for less of an energy input? Mm-hmm. And the Commonwealth made the decision that that will be accomplished first by the investment in energy efficiency. So the money that we talk about this being a free program, well, it's mm-hmm. it's at no cost to the end user. In this case, we're talking about the town of Yarmouth. No cost to the town of Yarmouth, but it's the amount of money that is saved actually exceeds the amount of money that you put into it. So it's truly an investment, and so we can laugh about it being free. It's not exactly free, but it, in the end it's free.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that kind of gets back to the next point that I wanted to talk to you, Brian, about. You know, when you're going in and you're implementing this work, obviously it takes a good chunk of time, a good chunk of manpower on your part. That, you know, going back to the program, yes, it's free, but how is the work that you ultimately implement going to end up benefiting the municipality when you're done?
It's like anything, really. When you look at it, when we go in, for example, if we're doing pumps, in most cases the motors are older, they're inefficient, they've been replaced, or if they're larger motors have a tendency, because they're so expensive, to be rewound. And rewinding a motor is not the most efficient way to do things. However, it is the most cost-effective way for a town or municipality to get something done and get it done quickly. When we come in, the Cape Light Compact and Rise Engineering, what we end up doing in most cases, if the motor's been rewound or it's older, is we replace that motor. So there's not only does the town get a benefit of being more energy efficient, they also get the benefit of getting new equipment. And new equipment to a facilities guy is a pretty big thing, you know.
George, what do you think about that?
Well, I would tell you that we've replaced every motor I think that we had with high efficiency motors through the Cape Light Compact. And I thought one of the innovative suggestions that they had is we had running at our septic treatment plant three available, they didn't all run at the same time, compressors. They ran 24/7 because that's the way they were designed way back when. Early on, we had 275s and we put it in a 40 just to save money because we didn't need as much air as they originally anticipated. But when Rise came in, they decided that it was best for us to put a big holding tank in. Mm-hmm. So rather than those things, the compressors running 24/7, they pumped air into the tank, shut down. We used the air off the tank to supply the diaphragm pumps. We ended up by having the compressors run probably 20% of the time. That was a significant savings for us. And it was pretty. I thought it was pretty innovative on their part.
That is. Well, do you have any dollar amounts on that?
I don't, but it ended up being, and it's hard because we've done other efficiency improvements on the plant. Mm-hmm. But generally, I think we saved $16,000 to $20,000 in 1 year.
That is pretty significant. And that savings, it goes directly back to the town, right, John?
Yes, it is. The town benefits completely from that savings. It's just like taking that $15,000 or $20,000 and just putting it right back into the treasury. Another point as far as putting a tank in for storage and running your compressors less, you can also run them off-peak, which is important, especially important on Cape Cod, and especially important the further out on Cape Cod you get. Mm-hmm. Because on high demand days for electricity, electricity is prohibitively costly to create.
Why?
Because of the various power plants that have to come online. You have what's called base load power plants that are always running, but as the demand during the day, typically this I'm talking about, let's say, a hot August day, everybody's air conditioning is coming on. They have to start bringing on more and more expensive power plants that use more expensive fossil fuels to the point where they get a real peak demand and they have to actually turn jet engines on to generate electricity. They're jet engines and they are unbelievably expensive to run. If we can avoid turning those jet engines on during a peak demand time because George has compressed his air in the middle of the night off the baseload plants, the entire electric system saves money. Because a little secret about how electricity is priced, the cost of electricity, they send the money out to the power plants based on the last power plant that came online. So if you've got a power plant that is generating electricity at little or no cost, then you bid into the system to the base load, 1 or 2 cents a kilowatt hour perhaps. Get to these more expensive plants, and let's say the next plant that comes online is 5 cents a kilowatt hour. The base load plant then gets that 5 cents a kilowatt hour. You get to the point where you're turning the jet engines on and the baseload plants are getting 30, 40, 50 cents a kilowatt hour. Believe me, the utilities don't want to sell electricity because they can only sell it to you for what the regulated price is, and the regulated price oftentimes is way below what it is actually costing them to deliver. So energy efficiency just makes all kinds of sense to everybody involved. If we're not turning the expensive power plants on, except when we absolutely have to. And for the homeowner that's listening to this, on sunny days, hang your laundry out, change your light bulbs to compact fluorescents. Let's do everything we can to prevent us from having to turn those expensive power plants on, because ultimately that cost permeates everybody's electric bill. So thank you, George, for compressing your air off-peak. We all appreciate that.
Well, I think it's important that the utility company thinks it's important enough that they actually pay us to switch over to generator power and come offline during the peak periods of energy consumption in the summer in order to avoid turning the jet engines on.
I'd like to talk about that program a little bit. Can you describe, either one of you, describe this a little bit better?
Well, if you have alternate power sources that are big enough, and our septic treatment plant consumes enough power that it's a significant draw on the grid, that the through a second company that is hired by the utility, they actually set up the program, send out the notices to each of the high consumers if they have alternate power. And I think you've seen it probably in some of the bigger department stores where they turn off every other row of light when it's really hot outside. I think it's the same kind of program where they save energy. The whole idea is really to shave the peaks, which is what John's trying to say.
Right.
Are we going to be offering more of those programs or making them available, or at least educationally?
We'll make them available educationally. There are companies that are aggregators. And I'm not talking to the typical homeowner right now.
Right.
Okay, I'm talking to somebody that's got a significant load like the septic treatment plant, where they can, right now the minimums that you have to shed is 100 kW. 100 kW would be the equivalent of completely shutting off perhaps 50 to 75 homes. Okay, so the individual homeowner isn't going to get to do this.
I don't think they'd be
yet,
too happy about that.
Yeah, although And I don't want to get off subject, but okay. Once we get into the smart grid, even the individual homeowners will be participating in this. But as it stands right now, the utility, which is NSTAR, mm-hmm. will operate a program called Demand Response. They call George, say, George, please turn your generators on and remove yourself from the grid, and we will pay you to do that.
I think that's a pretty good deal.
Well, it's inconvenient, but it works.
Yeah.
And that payment, if I'm not mistaken, comes every month, right?
That's great. It's prorated over the year that you get annually.
All right. Well, I just wanted to take a quick little break in the middle.
That was a break.
That was our little break.
Let's get back on topic.
You're listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Our guests today are Brian Laughlin from Rise Engineering and George Allaire from the town of Yarmouth, both here to walk us through the steps to implementing energy efficiency upgrades to public facilities here on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard.
Can I make things easy?
Yeah.
The first step is call the Cape Light Compact's 800 number. If your municipality has what you feel can be an attractive, cost-effective project, call 1-800-797-6699. That starts the process going. We get that call. We, in turn, alert Brian. Mm-hmm. Brian goes out, calls on George, says, George, what have you got for a project? George turns the project over to Brian. Brian does his audit, which is basically what he was talking about when he's talking about going through the buildings. That is an audit. Mm-hmm. He does his audit, comes up with a report, presents it back to George, said, this looks like something we ought to submit to the Cape Light Compact, and that's how it works.
That sounds good,
John. You don't even have to think you have this energy saving, but you just hope you have an energy saving.
Yeah, even hope. Yeah. If you help, yeah.
Brian.
Yes.
I'd like you to kind of talk through some of the projects that you see on a daily basis that you think bring in some of the best energy savings for a municipality.
Sure. A lot of opportunities have existed throughout the Cape in, for example, places that you'd never think of. You know, you drive by that small building on the side of the road, kind of wonder what it is. Well, there's a good chance that could be a pumping station for your town. And within that pumping station, again, you have a pump, a motor, and this little device called a Parco valve in a lot of cases. In some cases, they don't have them. They're using backflow preventers, and they're using their bowl adjustments. Well, when you look at what's a Parco do, real simply, you look at that. Think of driving your car. Everybody drives their car down the road, right? Pretty easy task. Foot on the gas when you want to go. Foot on the brake when you want to stop. Well, if you were to get in your car one day, put your foot on the gas all the way to the floor, and then use your brake to regulate speed, doesn't really make sense, does it? Well, that's kind of how, when you use a Parco valve to control your flow rate, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Okay.
That motor is eating up that electricity as fast as it can, and you're slowing it down using that Parco valve or brake. So what we would do is we go in, evaluate that situation. Obviously, we want to improve that. We take that Parco valve, open it all the way back up, put a device in called a variable frequency drive. Think of a variable frequency drive just like cruise control in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Variable frequency drive will tailor that to exactly the flow rate that you need. A lot of the towns on the Cape have restrictions as to how much pump water they can do a year. Perhaps they have sand problems or other issues that they're dealing with that particular well, and that's why it's been valved down or Parco valve's been used to do that. So we're going to come in, look at the motor. Has it been rewound? If it has, we're going to take that motor out, put a brand new motor in there, put a variable frequency drive in, leave the Parco in some cases. Sometimes we'll take it out. It really depends on the condition of the backflow preventers, whether they have backflow preventers in the system or not. And we'll go from there. And the savings are tremendous. Motors that are being restricted, flow that's being restricted, is an excellent, excellent way to save energy. And you can save a lot of it with just a little bit of control.
Can you give us some typical savings that we could share?
Yeah, I mean, for example, if, and I don't know if we want to talk about town specifically or mention names specifically, but it doesn't really matter.
We can talk generically about
it. We did a project not too long ago for a town on the Cape, 75 horse. They had a couple of 75 horsepower motors at two different pumping stations. One of those was allowed to pump 680 gallons, but it was capable of pumping 700 gallons per minute. Mm-hmm. That's not a big difference when you look at gallons per minute, right? So let's take a step back and go to energy savings. And if you were to look at their energy savings for that particular device, currently it was operating at about 45 kW. All right? When we went back to that, put a VFD on it, we saved
VFD.
Variable frequency drive.
Thank you. Sorry about that. It's okay.
A variable frequency drive, we were able to conserve 7.5 kW. Now, kWh is a function of energy over time. What does that relate to? That related to, on that one pump, 13,368 kWh saved per year.
And that's kilowatt hour.
That's kilowatt hours. That's kilowatt hours. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we did two of those. The combined savings over both were 11.8 kWh and 20,000 kWh. What does that really mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
That means about $4,000 a year right back for those two wells specifically.
That's pretty impressive, yeah?
Absolutely. You know, we got to do everything
and
we can.
What, and let's back up a little bit. What, so you're going to save $4,000 in energy. What is the cost of the motor that went in there?
Well, the entire project was about $20,000.
Okay. So that particular one's going to pay back in a five-year period of time?
That particular one was a five-year return on investment.
Okay.
Are we also running into on the Cape the problem of an aging infrastructure that needs to be upgraded?
I would say generally yes, but that's true throughout the country. I think what you're seeing that he's speaking to when you talk about these Paco valves is old technology that was appropriate for the day when energy was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really had to worry about saving it. You know, it was so inexpensive, people didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now when the price of energy has risen to the point where it gets your attention, then it makes sense to spend money to save that kind of energy and money, really.
Gentlemen, you're not going to believe this. We're done.
Oh, my God. How can that be?
Thank you all very much for coming on. We told you it went really quick. But we really appreciate...
Well, you've got commercial time, though.
No, no commercial time here.
No commercials on WMR.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's incredibly quick. You're right.
Yeah. But I'm just going to wrap up the program right here. You've been listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org. Or I'll repeat that 1-800 number one more time, 1-800-797-6699. And let us hear from you and what projects we can help you with. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. I'd like to thank our guests, Brian Laughlin from Rise Engineering and Georgia Lair from the town of Yarmouth. And of course, my very knowledgeable and always enlightening co-host, John Burns.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
It's my pleasure.
I'd also like to thank our engineer, John Braden, for all he's done for us today. Thanks so much, John. Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, 92.1 on your FM dial, and streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, Amy Vohl, and I want to thank you very much for listening, and as always, wish you a wonderful, energy-efficient afternoon.